ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. All right. So I was wrong about the New York City suspected car bomber being a teabagger. That's what the radio's for, is speculating wildly, pulling stuff out of your ass. If only we had a real report. Oh, look, Contessa Brewer's on the phone. Thank God for journalism. Good morning, Contessa.
Hello there, Stephanie.
What do I think? I'm Fox News here? I was just speculating wildly yesterday with
Thing. It's not that everybody doesn't speculate wildly. I mean, we do that too on MSNBC. We just do it at private dinner parties where nobody's going
That's right.
predictions.
That's the difference in radio. You have 3 hours a day. You have nothing but time to speculate wildly and broadcast that. So, Contessa, tell us the latest that we have learned. A law enforcement official says the man accused of driving the bomb-laden SUV to Times Square was arrested on board a flight set to leave New York for Dubai. He's a U.S. citizen, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm hearing two things, that he may be a naturalized citizen. That being said, so he is a U.S. citizen. There is this big failed bombing attempt, as you know, in Times Square. We're also hearing that he was taken off the plane with another guy. That guy was questioned and then released. So at this point now, it looks like he's the only person in custody.
Now, update us, because obviously, you know, you probably were hearing all the stuff that we were yesterday. Obviously, what they were talking about was a white man in his 40s who was spotted on the videotape. Are they now saying that guy was not involved, the guy changing his shirt?
I have not heard that they are ruling that out, but it may be. I mean, you know, that day was extremely hot in New York City in the 90s, I believe. So
I'm spritzing like nobody's business here.
So it may be that the guy that was caught on videotape changing his shirt has nothing to do at all with the failed attack. It may be that he was just a bystander. They have not said so far, but, you know, we're being very careful and even now about linking the two, because it may just be that was one of their first investigative leads. Who is this guy? Why is he looking over his shoulder at the Pathfinder? And now they've arrested this guy, Faisal Shahzad. It may be that the guy caught on camera has nothing to do with it.
Doesn't it sound like a character on Powerpuff Girls to you? I know that's not a journalistic question.
I'm not even sure I know what Powerpuff Girls are.
Good. That's good, Contessa.
It's an animated, I don't know, something. She-Ra, Princess of Power, something.
You know I don't have children, right? So if I were to ever admit to watching cartoons, wouldn't that look awfully silly?
No, it would look like you're doing journalistic research.
Right.
The headline, obviously, this morning is the suspect says he acted alone. I mean, obviously, you know, you can't necessarily take his word, I suppose, for everything. But what are you hearing at this hour about that? Anything?
Just that the investigation's continuing. They have not said. I mean, you know, they were... I felt like Janet Napolitano was making sure that she was not going to commit herself to ruling out there may have been international links. And, of course, we know the Pakistani Taliban was trying to take credit for it. But it didn't sound like they were jumping into that either and wanting to put the blame on a sophisticated terror network, especially when this has been called by some investigators amateurish.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, they're saying investigators don't have evidence he's connected to Pakistani Taliban. But you're right. You know, I'm sure, you know, you do this all the time, Contessa, where when it's a breaking story, it just, you know, literally from the time I started talking to you, breaking news update, breaking. I mean, it's like, you know, so you're not really sure, right, exactly what's going to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the thing is that, and even when I'm on the air, this happens. So I have my computer pulled up. I've got the wires constantly going, and I have a whole team of people in my ear to make sure that I'm getting the updates about this. And in
that's my favorite is when you do the Scooby-Doo thing, when you can tell someone's talking in your ear and you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always nice. And sometimes they keep talking, and at some point I just have to stop because I can't.
Right.
I'm ad-libbing here, and what you're saying is not computing.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not the TV star you are, but I had one TV show once. It's the only TV show I had where I had the power to tell them I am not having that thing in my ear.
Really?
because I had producers that were way too chatty, and they would never shut up. And I'm like, I can't talk while you're talking. It's
But so it wasn't. Apparently, it was their first radio. It was their first TV show too, huh?
Exactly. You need to shush when I'm talking. Yeah. So now, what you're saying? What they're reporting? He's a U.S. citizen who had recently returned from a 5-month trip to his native Pakistan, where he had a family. So, you know, I'm curious. You know, in your experience, how this impacts all the debates that are going on? We have the Arizona immigration law and. But again, here we go. I was listening to, I think it was actually on Morning Joe this morning, a security expert. You know, first of all, we can't shut New York. You can't shut the bridges and tunnels. So,
right.
You know, when you get to this question of how do you protect a place like New York City, and this is a U.S. citizen, so even if he had his papers or whatever, right?
I mean, the thing is that I get frustrated, there was part of me that was hoping this was not going to be anybody with ties to any kind of Islamic country, because there are a lot of people who want to use terrorist intent to justify writing off people who believe in a certain way or come from certain countries or whose skin color is a certain way. I mean, they use it as justification for really outdated bigotry. And so there was part of me that was really hoping this would not be the case, that here would be somebody who's not the tie. And again, I mean, he's accused, he's arrested. You know, I don't want to convict him before it's time to do so. He's the guy authorities say is involved. But that being said, I mean, we know even in recent history, you had the Hatari militia from Michigan who had plans to, let's face it, create terror. That's what they were planning to do. And they were doing so from far different backgrounds than what this guy is coming from. So the threat is not just coming from people who decide that America is the place to be, you know, and come here and want to become citizens. And obviously this guy did.
Right. Well, you know, the other thing I was listening to, I forget exactly who the security expert was. It was on TV this morning. But, you know, saying that one of the main things that we've done is obviously disrupted their training areas. And because, like, as you say, if this is amateurish, that's part of, you know, that people are not, you know, look at this failed underwear bomber. Either they're not getting the training or, you know, you do have to give the Obama administration some credit that these are, you know, that these plots obviously have, like, I guess, I don't know if you want to say foiled, but do you know what I'm saying? Thank God they haven't been successful.
It wasn't it wasn't like there was all this intelligence that they could go after and stop this guy. Here were some people who were paying attention. And I interviewed the guy yesterday, you know, this T-shirt vendor, Lance Orton, his name is. I interviewed him about the fact that he had called the police over to say, hey, look, this car is smoking and there's obviously a problem. And he said, I feel bad that it took me as long as it did to notice. He said, but there were a bunch of tourists on the street dancing. You know, somebody had a boombox and was jamming out there. And so it was sort of this distraction was happening. But that's what it takes, is people who are really paying attention. And, by the way, people who are willing to stand up and intervene.
That's right. Buying you a cheap handbag from that guy for doing this interview later.
I have plenty. I give them away as Christmas presents every year. People are like, stop, really? It's not a New York handbag. But, you know, like in New York, we just had this case where a guy was practically dying on the street. Nobody stopping by to do anything. I hate those stories. And I just think it's an instance where always I want people to, not just about suspicion of terror, I want people to stand up when they see something is going wrong.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. And I do my studio is actually here in Times Square. So I walk home through there every day. And I'm laughing yesterday. The Naked Cowboy is back out there. And I'm like going, there is a lot going on in Times Square. I almost ran into a light pole. I was like, that guy has a hot body. Shikloink, you know. But, I mean, you're right. To notice anything in Times Square is a bit of a challenge. So, you know, you're right. Props to these guys. But when you look at, whether the shoe bomber or the underwear bomber, I mean, you're right. A lot of times, as the law enforcement says, citizens are the first line of defense here.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Contessa, so what, you know, in your experience covering these things, what do you think is next? I mean, this was actually pretty quick that they obviously caught this guy. I mean, here he was on his way out of the country, correct?
Well, right. So he was on a plane. He was getting ready to head to Dubai. He was on board that plane. They pulled him off. You know, what's interesting is we're seeing it within the boundaries of the United States, the people that they're arresting seem to be, you know, these loners in some ways.
I mean,
the underwear bomber had obviously been sent, and there was a network behind him. But they're guys who are, I don't know, isolated in some ways from their families. It'll be interesting when we hear what is the background of Faisal Shahzad, as we are, you know, of course, our NBC crews are on that and looking into more background there. As we find out more, we'll find out, you know, were there failed family ties? Did he have a strong community network here in the United States? Did he feel isolated?
God, you're describing me pretty much since I've moved to New York. But actually, I'm trying to decide, do I stay or go back to L.A.? What do you think the chances are we're all going to get blown up soon? Is there any?
No, I think the chances are slim.
Probably about the same as there being an earthquake back here in L.A.
Yeah, well, I'm a disaster magnet, so if I move to L.A., there'll be an earthquake.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, is that what happens? See, I feel like that when I get on the air, that if you want breaking news to happen, you should put me in the anchor seat.
No, exactly. Exactly. I think they know you have that stamina, that you're good for 14, 16, 18 hours. Doesn't matter.
No problem. Give me 2 weeks. I can do it.
Contessa, let's talk about the other huge story, this oil spill. I have to laugh because, I seriously didn't bring this up to Fox Bash, but, I mean, it really is hilarious. So it starts with just fringe, like Rush Limbaugh suggesting that this was deliberately, you know, sabotaged by environmentalists or whatever. But then Dana Perino goes on Fox News and says the same thing.
No.
Was this maybe deliberate by people that don't want there to be drilling?
No.
It's like based on nothing.
Yeah. No, I don't like going there. This is not only an environmental disaster, but it has the potential of being an economic one, too. And I think there's so many. I was reading an interview with a Vietnamese immigrant who came here, and he owns this shrimp boat, and he said, I don't know what I'm going to do to survive. And again, you're talking about people who may not have strong networks of support in this country, and a disaster of this magnitude can change the course of their lives forever.
Right.
And it is a little shocking that, I mean, why would a company like BP not have several backup systems? I mean, apparently this federal agency, it's called Minerals Management Service, doesn't require these remote control shutoff systems. Why is beyond me. But it says, we do require one emergency backup system. Well, in this case, it clearly didn't work. But a company of BP's resources, why would it not have 3, 4, and 5 backup systems
And when you bring up the fishing industry, you know, certainly, you know, my feeling would be the BP need that. That's part of, you know, what they need to compensate.
They should. But do you know that there's a law that limits claims for economic damage to $75 million. It dates back to 1990. But this could be a real problem. Yes, the president says BP is going to be held responsible. BP says, well, we're going to pay back these verifiable claims. But the law right now limits those claims to $75 million. If you look at the swath of people who could be affected by this,
yep.
It'll be surprising if it's less than $75 million.
And, Contessa, here's something that's not a conspiracy theory. You know, BP says yesterday that it was a failed piece of equipment. The disaster occurred as Halliburton was cementing the underwater oil well. So, you know, I think the investigation is going to continue here as to what happened and who's responsible.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that, I mean, I heard BP. In fact, we played a soundbite on my show yesterday where the guy saying, hey, it's not our accident. I'm thinking, well, if it's not your accident, then whose is it? And, you know, blaming a faulty piece of equipment, that's like Toyota trying to put all the blame for sticky accelerators just on the accelerator manufacturer, not taking any of the blame itself.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Exactly. Contessa, thank you so much for bringing your journalistic integrity to this otherwise shoddy enterprise.
Well, I should be able to do that at least once a day.
Contessa Brewer from MSNBC. Thanks so much, Contessa.
Thanks,
see you next time.
Bye.
All right. There she goes. Thank God we happen to have some journalistic integrity injected into this for a moment.
Yeah, it's about the
I was at MSNBC last night doing the Ed Show, and I was chatting with Leslie Stahl in the hallway. So
it seems
to have rubbed off on me, journalism. Oh. I'm being much more responsible this morning, aren't I?
Yes, or me. I just hope that your irresponsibility hasn't rubbed off on Leslie Stahl.
Let's hope not. If she's on MSNBC today speculating wildly about this, we'll know it was from her time spent with
right.
me. Yeah, she makes a good point, though. That'll be interesting. I mean, look at how much Halliburton has already ripped off the American taxpayer. And I don't know, but, you know, that's, like I say, not a conspiracy theory.
Right.
You know, Halliburton was in the process of whatever the heck I just said, cementing the underwater oil well. So, mm-hmm. I don't know who's – but you know, somebody really, you know, what did Gibbs say if everyone was going crazy that they're going to keep their boot on the throat of
yes.
BP? I'm like, okay, good.
Yeah, the far right went nuts about that.
I know. We will talk about all that as we continue. 21 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get delirium. Never you need. Lose all
self control.
I get delirium.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 27 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dan Weiss, who is the Director of Climate Strategy from the Center for American Progress. We'll talk to us about the oil spill, Representative Allison Schwartz, and, of course, Charlie Pierce, our mm-hmm. Tuesday pal. Rebecca's here, everybody.
Oh, thank God.
She had a flat tire. She was late. Rebecca, since you've moved to, where have you moved to, Bangladesh or somewhere that needs a visa to get into work every day?
You moved about an hour and a half away, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, and it's still not far enough.
Well, because most people in L.A. are, if only my commute could be longer, I'd be so much happier.
Well, when I was growing up, my dad had an hour-long commute into Los Angeles, so it's not unheard
here
of.
Is an hour.
I grew up in Buffalo. My dad commuted 2 hours in the snow both ways.
To Washington, D.C.
Walking. He walked to Washington to be a congressman. All right. Everything's okay?
Yeah, it was frightening. There was this really slow Yaris in front of me, so I gunned it around him. And I hit a trucker wheel well or something that had fallen off a truck, and my car immediately went go. And smelled bad, and I was freaking out because I only had one cell bar on my phone to call Chris, and only one bar left to even make the call.
No.
So worried.
He had to answer the phone himself when Contessa Brewer called it. Really, the show has just...
No, you don't know the half of it. I had to answer it 3 times because her line kept dropping, and she hung up.
See, Rebecca, this whole operation falls apart when you're not there. That's why.
Clearly.
That's what I wanted to.
So I'm
glad
I made it.
And Rebecca, I got a letter from someone named Ian that I will share with you after the break.
Uh-oh.
Because Rebecca's, she's also the security guard.
Yes.
Here at the Stephanie Miller
she's
Show.
She's the gatekeeper.
That's right here.
And the keymaster.
Yes.
We call her Gozer. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's all think about it, people.
Think about what?
Morning drinking.
Boy.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric Holder, Attorney General, yesterday on the New York City bomb suspect.
This investigation is ongoing, as are our attempts to gather useful intelligence, and we continue to pursue a number of leads. But it's clear that the intent behind this terrorist act was to kill Americans.
The breaking news this morning, in case you have not heard. A U.S. citizen who had recently returned from a five-month trip to his native Pakistan, where he had a family, was arrested at Kennedy Airport, I believe, on charges that he drove that bomb-laden SUV to cause a fireball in Times Square, which is, I could throw a stone and hit it from here.
Would it have
my studio? Oddly, I'm right in the middle of the breaking news, because I am in Times Square.
You're on the scene.
So this is of some interest to me. This has added a little urgency to the show, hasn't it?
Would it have blown up the Naked Cowboy?
The Naked Cowboy was there yesterday. I literally almost hit a light bulb, like a post. I was like, wow, that guy is hot. Yeah. But everything's back to normal in Times Square yesterday. Naked Cowboy, you know, people taking pictures. I'm going to probably, the show will sound like I've run up a flight of stairs. There'll be so much urgency for the next few days.
Great.
The suspect, Faisal Shahzad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. Some parent has to know what I'm talking about. She-Ra, Princess of Power, some old cartoon. It sounds like a character on, which one am I thinking of, Chris?
Thundercats? Are you talking about Lion-O?
Not Powerpuff Girls, the other, Faisal Shahzad.
Almighty Isis. Shazam. You know, where.
Yes, it sounds like the old Batman cartoon when they would hit somebody. Shazad!
No, I was talking about the cartoon Shazam.
Oh, Shazam! That's different, too.
With Captain Marvel, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. This whole thing has had a cartoonish aspect, thank God, in the sense, too, that nothing bad happened.
But we were saying the car
was like something in Roadrunner. We speculated yesterday that it might have been rocket skates or exploding birdseed.
It was kind of an idiot.
There was a lot of stuff in there. Yeah. And the movable hole.
The portable hole.
Portable hole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was taken into custody late yesterday by FBI agents and the NYPD at Kennedy while trying to board a flight to Dubai. Shahzad is a naturalized U.S. citizen who had recently returned from a five-month trip to Pakistan where he had a wife. Authorities removed plastic bags. There's always the scene as they're walking out with the plastic bags.
Yes.
From the house in a mixed-race working-class neighborhood of multifamily homes in Connecticut's largest city, a bomb squad came and went without entering as local police and FBI agents gathered in the cordoned-off street. And that's a scene out of Speed. Shahzad was being held in New York overnight.
Shahzad!
He was being held in New York overnight and couldn't be contacted. Do you want me to try to book him since I'm here?
Can you get? Yeah. I mean, would you mind?
Sure. Let me get on that.
Okay.
Let me see if the Naked Cowboy can help, if he has any connections.
Why don't you go downstairs and pull the Naked Cowboy up?
That's false advertising because he's not naked. He has underpants on.
He can't be naked.
He has underpants and cowboy boots and a cowboy hat.
I mean, we're supposed to be having a guest right now, so, you know, Naked Cowboy is better than nothing, I suppose.
Exactly. Where is Dan Weiss, for God's sake?
We're leaving a message for him. He's not picking up.
All right, fine. Mm-hmm. Eric Holder yesterday.
Over the course of the day today, we have gathered significant additional evidence that led to tonight's arrest, which was made by agents from the Department of Homeland Security's Customs and Border Protection.
Oh, thank God. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show, she can explain. Shazam.
Shazam.
I'm thinking of. Yeah, hang on one second. Lavender, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, honey.
Good morning, Mama. Morning, Mook.
Good morning.
Billy Batson would call upon the gods of Olympus to turn into Captain Marvel, and to do so, he would say the magic word Shazam.
Right, and he would travel around with Mentor in that Winnebago, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
My dad used to name his Cocker Spaniel Shazam.
Ah, I see. Okay.
I know this well.
And we're just saying it's very close. Shazad is close.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we say Shazad, and then bam, the color turns orange or something.
Yes, exactly. All right, thank you, Lavender. See, our listeners can always they can clear up what the flapping wires in my brain meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was I used to watch that cartoon in the 70s. I did.
All right. Eric Holder again last night.
We have some good leads, and the investigative work, I think, has begun. Had those devices been successful, we certainly could have seen a substantial loss of life.
I guess the good news is so far the people that it hasn't worked, Chris, kind of boobs, underwear bomber and this guy. I was wondering, maybe there's somebody that's an expert in explosives or something to explain how did he expect it to go off? Like there were, you know, propane tanks and firecrackers and
throwing
fertilizer, but he got the wrong kind of fertilizer.
I think he was just throwing everything but the kitchen sink in there that could possibly explode. you know, and,
right.
and hoping
right,
that it would.
But how was it supposed to be detonated, I wondered. I mean, that's what I, because they were saying it was smoking. And
right.
I don't.
Well, it was something obviously caused it to smoke, so I'm sure there was a detonator in there. It just probably wasn't hooked up properly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank God he's as technically inept as I am. I would see that's what I would do. I get the wrong kind of.
Yeah, we, I mean, this could have been bad.
Yeah, I know.
It really could have.
Hello, I'm sitting here like 3 feet from it. You're telling me? Like, you got, you remember yesterday, you guys were like, oh, whatever.
It didn't
I heard there was something
up,
in New York. I was like, no, it was a big thing. All right. Because I know everybody says, oh, people in New York, you're so New York-centric. You think the world revolves around you. I'm like, no, it's there's a bomb right there. It's,
well, that's kind of true. People in New York think the world does revolve around them. Like, any local
well,
story
and it's
should
perfect
be.
Perfect for me, because yeah. I, as you know, couldn't be more self-involved, could I?
No, but, you know, it's like the newscasters in New York will blow up any local New York story into a national, you know, scandal. It's like, we
yeah,
don't
well,
care
out
here.
Yeah, well, you guys are being L.A.-centric and snobby. Yeah, so you're like, oh, whatever. Rebecca's like, did it blow up? No? Well, who cares? I'm like, no, this was a big deal. This was, I mean, you know, because it wasn't just local New York. I mean, CNN was covering it all night long. I was, that's, you know, my raging insomnia.
Exactly. Yeah. Although we kind of had a local story here that, that blew up into a national story. A woman at my Target down the street from me hauled off and stabbed like 5 people in the middle of the store in the middle of the day.
Wow. You know, see, I knew that was going to be a mistake to remove the Isaac Mizrahi collection from Target.
Yeah, she was upset.
See, I was upset, too, because I got some really great tops. And when I went last time and there was no Isaac Mizrahi, I was really upset.
But you didn't haul off and stab people.
No.
Okay.
You know, I sometimes it's in the thought bubble. Like, whoever made this decision... All right, Mayor Michael Bloomberg yesterday.
Now, he may or may not have been involved in this incident. It was a hot day. Maybe he was just changing his shirt.
Can I just say it has gotten to be that New York kind of humid, which delightful
so
in New York.
The city is making
so
its own gravy.
More of the dirt can stick to you. It's been very hot and very humid.
The city is making its own gravy right now?
Exactly. Yeah. It is the city that makes its own gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
I think anybody that has the type of material that they had in a car in Times Square, I would say that that was intended to terrorize, absolutely. And I would say that whoever did that would be categorized as a terrorist, yes.
Although, you know, pretty much everything in the carcass, you can buy all of that in Times Square. It's a little fun fact for you about New York. You can buy anything in Times Square, seriously.
You can buy propane tanks?
Yeah, everything. You can buy anything from a street side vendor. Anything, you know.
Hmm.
You can get a hero, what's those, you know, the...
Hero.
Yeah, wrapped in like a pashmina scarf. You can get whatever you need there. Let's go to...
But it'll cost you $1 billion.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Welcome to New York. Jan, my right-wing bunt cake in Amherst, New York, up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport. Hi, Jan.
Hey, guys. Hi,
How
guys.
Hi.
Hey, you know, I haven't seen a picture of this Shahai guy, right?
Shazam. Shazad.
Shazad. But I guarantee you, he's the weirdest-looking white Christian we've probably ever seen. You know, everyone was speculating it was a 40-year-old tea party.
Well, that's because they reported it was a 40-year-old white guy. What they're saying is at this hour they don't know if that guy's connected or not, the guy on the
table. Everyone runs with it. Hey, listen, I am not a gambling man, but Steph, I'll give you my credit card number. Let's make a bet that this guy was a Muslim, okay? Let's just make a bet.
Yeah. Okay, John, obviously this guy on videotape, all the authorities thought could be involved and might still be. So obviously that was not something that was speculated. He's on tape.
Right. So when we have people like Rachel Maddow wasting an hour about Tim McVeigh and how this homegrown terrorism happens, is this what she was talking about?
But it does happen.
No, she didn't. That was a special she did 2 weeks ago. It wasn't about this.
Right. Right. About something that
Are you saying there is no homegrown terrorism? There haven't been. Incidences of not just Tim McVeigh, but all this...
Are you saying that white guys aren't capable of terrorism?
They're not capable? That's a silly question. If anyone's capable of terrorism...
Right.
However, let me just say that what you have is when these have these anti-immigration law protests out there, they're breaking store windows and everything, and this was contemporary. When the Tea Partiers are not...
I'm sorry, you're comparing homegrown terrorism to some windows being broken during a rally?
Listen, that is what
you're comparing blowing up the federal building and killing hundreds of people to windows getting broken?
That's what I call civil unrest. No. Listen, this is a Muslim guy.
Wait a minute. Civil unrest is the same thing as homegrown terrorism?
Hey, listen, this is good. This is interesting, too. It's going to come out, maybe, that this thing, because it was parked across from Viacom, maybe they were going after the South Park network. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? No, that's where it was. That's where it was parked.
And,
they can't do it. So is that what we have to do?
So they may be actually the people that kill Kenny, is what you're saying.
Well, no, that was speculated yesterday as well, John.
Good.
Okay.
That's great. Now we know that maybe we should talk about it being a Muslim thing and just not a lone wolf or something like that. And whether
what they're saying at this hour, they have no evidence he is connected to anything. We don't know yet. Yes, he's saying he's a lone wolf. We don't know that yet.
So if he doesn't know the secret handshake, then it's really just a nothing burger, right?
John, you're being irritating this morning based on nothing. I'm not even sure what we're arguing about.
Because they're really not even talking about the fact that it is a Muslim thing. And Bloomberg coming up and talking about a guy who's mad about health care reform.
Well, that
this is amazing. This is amazing.
That was before they had a suspect in custody.
They didn't have a suspect.
So he's an idiot because he spoke out of his butthole. Can I say that at least?
Mayor Bloomberg is many things. He's not an idiot.
Well, he spoke out of his butt, and he acted like an idiot. That was like acting stupid, like the cop in Boston that Obama called stupid. He acted stupidly. I guess it's the same thing.
Everybody, it was speculating everything before we knew anything. This is what breaking news is. You don't know. You know, obviously, this suspect they caught on tape, the cops thought had something to do with it. You know, he's looking back at the SUV. Wouldn't you investigate that lead?
I never heard the word Muslim is my point, I guess, in this whole thing. I was just listening to it.
They just caught him last night. They've obviously reported who he is and where he's from.
Now,
so what's your point?
Come on. Well, I knew he was from Pakistan, and I'm just looking at the Today Show, okay? It's their headline story.
So, John, you sound really happy that it's not a white guy. I mean, does it matter who?
They knew it was. They knew it was a Pakistani guy. So,
they caught him, it was reported who he was and where he's from.
But they didn't talk about Islam extremists. That's my point. They had 5 minutes.
They don't know yet whether he is connected to this Pakistani Taliban or not. They're saying there is no evidence of that. So we don't know yet. I don't understand.
I'm getting
we need to break.
All right. We do need to break because of time and also because of the enormous headache in my eye. I don't even understand what John and I were just talking about, for God's sakes.
I think agreed on many points, actually. Seriously.
This is irritating.
I know.
We should get married.
I'm surprised you didn't blame it on a room full of black guys.
Oh, boy. All right. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on this as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, she has one of these liberal talk shows that nobody listens to.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tom in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Steph and the Mooks.
Hello.
I'm probably going to be showing my age here, but Shazam is also something that Jim Nabors said a lot when he was in Gomer Pyle USMC.
Yes, you're
true.
Right.
Shazam!
But that was with a southern accent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it didn't...
I'm sure he was quoting the cartoon anyway.
Right.
Exactly. You know, if he'd said it with, as John from Amherst says, a Muslim accent... Then it would have sounded like Shazad, I guess.
It was a room full of Muslim guys.
What the hell was I even arguing with John over?
He was just...
You can't report things until you know them, for God's sakes.
Right.
I think he was trying to imply that the media or the law enforcement is avoiding saying it's a Muslim thing. It's like, well...
I think...
First of all, you know, you heard this thing about the VIN number had been scratched off the SUV? I guess he paid cash for the car and whatever. So anyway, as the investigation continued, they obviously narrowed the focus on who bought the SUV.
Right.
Like before that, obviously they had the videotape that showed a white guy in his 40s. So they, you know, I mean, this is what investigations are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think investigations show bias. They're trying to, as soon as they caught whoever, or you know, whoever the suspect was, they announced it.
Yep.
John's already way ahead in saying that he killed Kenny from South Park, so we don't know if this is...
There was speculation, because South Park did have a controversial episode with Muhammad on it a few weeks ago, and there was speculation that this was in retaliation for that.
Right.
But we don't know that.
Although it was also near Lion King, so who knows what that was about.
It was in retaliation for the Circle of Life?
Perhaps.
Who can say? Hakuna Matata.
And it probably had something to do with Hakuna Matata. Okay. Here's the one thing that holds true, Chris, and I think I've said this for years and years.
What?
If this guy is, in fact, you know, or could have turned out to be a serial, you know, a killer of some sort, they always live next to the stupidest people in the world.
The most redneck kind of people in the world.
Yeah, neighbors just are... neighbors offered diverging descriptions of Shazad, but agreed that he kept to himself. You know, it's always that same neighbor. He's kind of seemed nice feller, kind of kept to himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think people must be forced to socialize. That's what would stop all this, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It's always, he seemed like a nice feller, kind of kept to himself.
You know what would help is to tear down cinder block walls, you know, in between backyards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody talks over the picket fence anymore.
No. Well, in New York you can, but you'll get shot.
No, that's true.
Neighbor Brenda Thurman said he was a little bit strange. He didn't like to come out during the day. Oh, maybe he was a vampire. Maybe not a Muslim. Maybe a vampire.
They did catch him at night. I think you're onto something.
Just saying. Didn't like to come out during the day. Let's go to Stephanie in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
You know, that's just a little too giddy that it's not a white guy, you know?
Yeah.
That has got to be the lamest, stupidest. You know, I know he can be a little on the racist side because, you know, about the room full of black guys comment that...
Causing all our mortgage trouble? Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but for the love of God, we have absolutely no idea what religion or faith this person is, or what skin color they really are. Really, I mean, who knows who's all involved in this? And yes, Steph, I did think it was your van.
You thought it was my SUV? Yeah, because you know, I'm having a little trouble with the logistics of New York, and you're like, oh, she was bringing the dog somewhere and going to a barbecue, and she didn't know where to park. And,
yeah.
I totally did. I immediately thought that, and I'm like, God, it's crazy.
You're like, Mama, you can't park your giant SUV in the middle of Times Square. Even that's where your studio is. There's no...
Just because your cab driver doesn't drop you off right in front of your door doesn't mean you should drive your vehicle down there.
That's right, Steph. See, that's the problem is, you know, this is what happens in investigations. I bet many of my listeners thought that had to be Mama, right?
Exactly.
Oh, right? You're like going, she already doesn't know how to deal with the logistics of New York. She doesn't... Her studio's in Times Square. She has a big SUV because of the dogs.
Times Square was the closest parking space you could find to your house.
I would do that. But because, of, you know, we have obviously a specific time that my job starts. I don't get to just, you know, be late. So I would do that, Chris. I would park right next to the Naked Cowboy in Times Square if it were, you know, almost 6 minutes after. And then I would cause an international incident like this.
By the way, we're getting word that Naked Cowboy is a raging anti-Obama guy.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to go talk to him if I see him today.
Yes. I got that email from several people.
Dawn in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello. Oh, you didn't do the thing right again. See? I wouldn't know how to buy the right stuff for the thing either. Hello, Dawn in Detroit.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Hi. Good. Go ahead.
I couldn't believe it when I got up this morning and I heard the breaking news that this guy was from Pakistan. I was so hoping it was going to be a white guy like they originally thought when they were talking about the white guy who was taking his clothes off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or changing shirts. But on another note, I was at a flea market on Sunday.
Yep.
And lo and behold, what I found was a button with Goldwater Miller on it.
Oh, send that along to Mama. 58, you can never have too many. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Representative Allison Schwartz next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Mama's appearance on The Ed Show on MSNBC up in the YouTube section?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yes, in the video section.
In the video section, all right. And you can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Deedee Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Ian did. Did you see this one?
What?
Hello, Rebecca. There was an email last week from someone that wanted Stephanie's home phone number to disrupt her during her private time. I would never think of doing such a thing, but I have the same problem that listener had. I have the podcast, so I think of witty repartee, but the show is hurt by my inability to call it in when I think of it, to share it with all. So I was hoping that perhaps you could get me her address and a copy of her keys for the good of the show. That way, instead of rudely calling her up any time of the day or night, I'd be able to go to her place and mumble my humorous banter to her as she sleeps for the good of the show. Thanks for your help. Not a creepy listener from nowhere near Stephanie. P.S. Just a joke. Please don't turn me into the fuzz. Just get me those keys for the good of the show. The very creepy Ian. All right. And Rebecca, we'll probably do that.
Yeah, let's put that in the FBI file.
Next to the glory hole.
Yeah, next to sock.
Next to my Shazad file. Shazad.
Shazad.
Shazad. All right.
Thinking of Schwaz.
Schwazen, Bradley. Schwazen. Schwazenator. Shazam.
Thank you. All right. Lots of breaking news this morning. Let's talk to Representative Allison Schwartz, our good friend from the great state of Pennsylvania. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. Well, you know, I'm here in Times Square, so I'm a little bit nervous this morning. But a lot of breaking news. What are you hearing about the this latest? Obviously, he's in police custody. Anything else you've heard?
You know, I really don't know more than you've heard on that you would be reporting. You know, that I hear what the reports are. Obviously, we're grateful that no one was harmed and there was an alert citizen who quickly responsive police department. But it is scary when you think that someone can put together even a very crude device of some kind that could have hurt some people, and been pretty terrifying in a dense part of Manhattan, that's for sure.
Right. Well, Congresswoman, I mean, obviously this will open yet another discussion, about Homeland Security and all of that. But it is interesting. First of all, what you just raised, whether it was the shoe bomber or the underwear bomber or this guy, I mean, alert citizens have always been, you know, the first line of defense. But, you know, secondly, when we've got this Arizona law and all this stuff being debated, I mean, this was a U.S. citizen. And I think as another security expert said today, we can't shut down Manhattan. You can't shut down New York. I mean, they're in a free country. What are your thoughts on what we can do?
Well, I mean, but there is a great deal going on that, you know, is not so visible to, the average citizen, to all of us. And I think that's one of the questions we will ask as members of the Congress is, was there intelligence on this person? Was there any information we might have had that could have been acted on sooner? That's always a question we will ask, because, again, the police and all law enforcement and Homeland Security are always working together, particularly in areas like New York City, where we know there's a vulnerability because there are so many people, and it is such a hub for so much of our activity and economy, that it is really always a concern. So we will ask the tough questions about whether there were, as we all should, you know, but whether in fact was any information about this particular person. And as you got some hints this morning, and I have no way of knowing this until we know it later, are there other connections? Is there something else going on here? Do we know anything that could have been acted on before this
right.
incident? And that is something we all want to know. But of course, yes, we live in a free society, really the opportunities exist, as we know, for someone to do something really terrible. And we need to be alert, and we need to respond very, very, very quickly, which is what happened in this case.
Right.
Thank God, you know.
Now, Congresswoman, I know obviously the other big story, this tragic oil spill, and I know Congress is getting ready to, turn up the heat on BP. There's going to be a number of hearings and all that starting, correct?
Yes, and of course here the issue is, of course, the cleanup right now is really what's on everyone's mind, how to really be able to limit the damage. There will be damage, and there's serious consequences, both economic and environmental. And and, of course, millions and millions of dollars being spent for the cleanup, and we don't really know the long-term or even short-term consequences. So, and whether BP could have done anything different, whether this is just something that happens when you do offshore drilling, whether there need to be, again, other kinds of requirements on oil drilling to make sure that they do everything they can to prevent this kind of, you know, really catastrophe, you know. So,
well, you know,
those are all questions we will ask.
Right.
And, you know, then, of course, there is the issue of cleanup and economic responsibility, financial responsibility for the cleanup.
Right.
So,
well, you know, it just seems like, you know, we are still in the wake of this tragedy, and here our friends on the right are scrambling, you know, already to protect the oil industry. We have Sarah Palin saying she hopes the country will still trust the oil industry. You have Governor Rick Perry saying this may be an act of God, the oil spill. And you have Dana Perino, you know, on Fox News speculating this may be a deliberate sabotage, you know, by people that don't want there to be drilling. I mean,
well, you know, the fact is that we do expect there to be drilling. We do need drilling. We do need access to oil, and we actually certainly appreciate when it's domestic drilling because then we don't have to buy this oil from foreign countries. But we also know that drilling in difficult places, like, you know, the in the ocean, you know, many you know, how deep they have to go and the storms and the things that can happen. And look, this follows on the coal mining disaster, you know, and dangerous. It's dangerous to bring these fossil fuels out from the ground, and we need to make sure that there are protections for the workers and protections for the environment, and again for the financial consequences, not just for BP, but of course we have Coast Guard going in, and we have you know, the president say we're going to help on all this, and of course the economic consequences for those along the shoreline. So, you know, we continue to need oil. It's just not a question about that.
Well, yeah, but I don't know.
It does speak to the fact that there's the millions of dollars they could spend to clean up a disaster like this, and yet the same people who, you know, are concerned about fiscal responsibility are not, do not support the kind of smart investments in alternative renewable fuels that could be
more domestically
produced and in fact being less harmful to the environment and not have these kind of tragic consequences.
Well,
so
that's the key, because I'm not sure, you know, like I say, that, you know, I'm glad the administration is going to take, you know, a really serious look now at drilling, because I'm not sure, you know, obviously there needs to be more safeguards and there needs to be more oversight or regulation, but, you know, I don't know if you can prevent this, and I don't know if it is worth it. I mean, in the wake of this, I think you've got to take a serious step back on drilling and look at it. But at any rate, Congresswoman, let's move on to health care, because I know you're still, you know, working on that. That's kind of fallen off the radar, but what is happening on health care?
Well, it's become, you know, it still is, there's some, you know, obviously political controversy about it. There's still some state attorneys general who are saying they're going to seek to repeal the law, the sort of Republican, certainly John Boehner is as the lead Republican in the House is saying he is going to work to repeal this law, at the same time that so many Americans are seeing the immediate benefits of this legislation. And I think to the credit of our Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius, calling on the insurance industry and the insurance industry responding in a positive way to begin some of these changes that are so important to Americans, ending pre-existing conditions, exclusions for children immediately, enabling children up to age children. I mean, they would yell at me at this, at 25-year-olds up to age 26 to stay on their parents' health plans, and ending the insurance practice. Many companies have said they're going to end the practice of looking for a reason to deny coverage when somebody gets very sick and then dropping those people who get quite sick. All of that is beginning right now, and I think many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Americans will see those benefits, and they're going to say, what, you're going to take those away from me? So I think that's what's happening right now as we begin to see the very hard work that's going to go on, you know, to move ahead.
I can't remember who it was, John Boehner, and there was one other Republican basically saying any of the good ideas in the bill are Republican ideas, but they're still going to work to repeal the whole thing.
You know, I mean, look, you and I have talked about this. At some point, the bill on pre-existing condition exclusions for children was mine. You know,
right.
I'm a Democrat, so they want to claim that they supported that. That's fine, but they didn't vote for this bill, and they want to stop these really important benefits from proceeding for Americans. And I think we will see more and more Americans saying, oh, this is important to me. This is what I wanted to see happen. It's happening. We want to see it move ahead.
Yep.
And we have years of work here to make sure that it all works and works well. Yep. But that is beginning right now.
Absolutely. Congresswoman Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania, thanks as always for your time.
All right. Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
All right. You too. There she goes. Representative Allison Schwartz.
So
good morning, Boehner, Jim, and Shazad to you.
Shazad, Shazam, Shlamazel, Hausenpfeffer Incorporated.
Yeah, his first name sounds like what's his first name? Fazel?
Faisal.
Yes, that sounds like from Fizzle Around the Roof, and then Shazad sounds like from Faisal, She-Ra, Princess of Power.
Something tells me he wouldn't appreciate being associated with Fiddler on the Roof. Just saying.
And that's why I said it, to piss him off. All right, 17.
Great.
17.
And you're in Times Square. There's going to be
sunset.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Right back with the latest on the New York City bomb plot as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
They call me her. They call me
Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. That's not my name. They call me
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 21 minutes after the hour. Let's see. Mike in, say, Orlando, Florida on the New York City bomb plot. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, Stephanie?
Good. Go ahead. I am not blowed up, so I guess I'm all right for now.
Yes, ma'am. No, I just calling. I think it's a little hypocritical. People are calling in saying that they wish it was a white guy, and they're down on the people that say, you know, it had to be a Muslim. You know, if you're going to call in and say that, don't be calling in saying you wish it was a white guy. Just like they say about the Tea Partiers, we don't know that the Tea Partiers were the ones that broke the windows, that wrote dork on the windows, did that kind of stuff. So it's kind of categorizing both sides. Huh?
Wait a minute, I think you're confusing stories. A caller was saying he was comparing windows getting broken at the immigration rally or something to domestic terrorism. It was just a bad analogy all around. Let's go to David in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi,
hello,
welcome.
David.
So nice to talk to you. I really love your show and you guys.
Thank you.
I do have a bone to pick with you about immigration. But I do want to mention I'm a pedicab driver in New York City, and I was driving right through there when all this stuff went on. Mm. It was pretty weird.
Wow.
And also, I didn't mention on the news.
Wait, you're the bicycle guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool. That's my next job.
Okay, good. I'll give you a free ride. But the dogs have to stay home, though.
Okay.
The one thing I wanted to mention, there was a demonstration right on 42nd Street before it happened with these crazy revolution Muslim guys, you know, talking death to America with a loudspeaker. And they had the cops standing there looking like they were going to pounce on them. It was nobody mentioned that. I never saw these guys before. I thought it was interesting. But one thing I want bone to pick about immigration, see, what I feel is like in the right wing, everybody's talking about corporate interests. On the left wing, everybody's concerned about illegals and downtrodden. That's why these Tea Party people are so crazy. I mean, they're stupid, misguided, but there's like nobody really cares about the people in the middle, it seems like. Nobody's looking out after our interests. And that's where this is, you know, that's what I feel like is going on. Like, with the pedicab industry, it's been taken over by illegals now. They're all licensed. They shouldn't be here. They come here on a student visa. They now own businesses. They now own like 90% of the pedicab business, and all the legit proprietors
are pushed out of business. On both sides of the issue, we agree that, obviously the system is broken and we need to fix it. It's just a lot of us believe there needs to be comprehensive immigration reform. I don't think anybody's arguing on the left or right.
I think there should be. I think think there should be an ID card. I really do. Because when the cops pull somebody over right now, they can't ask for immigration status. I understand the profiling, but why couldn't it be that, obviously, if a cop keeps profiling, if somebody could keep a record of the cops, that they keep pulling people over for no reason, that cop can be reprimanded. But why can't a cop, if they pull somebody over for it, they can't ask their immigration status? That's not, that just doesn't seem right to me. I have a woman living next to me in my building in this one of the last cheap hell holes in Hell's Kitchen. She's illegal. She's been here for 20 years. She's a prostitute. She has this and that. Nobody can ask her status. She has four different names. That's what I'm saying. I'm the working guy.
Well, wait a minute. There's a difference between the Arizona law. I mean, Chris, am I wrong? I mean, normally when you're, you know, arrested for another crime, they find out your immigration status, right? Arizona is,
yeah,
I mean, that's
different. Through the booking process, yes.
But not in New York.
What do you mean?
They arrest you, and the cops are not allowed to ask you for your legal status. They got to go through INS.
Right, but they're going to. Okay, my point is, Chris,
they're going to find out anyway through the booking process, getting all of your information.
Yes, I mean, what we're talking about in Arizona is just you can just be pulled over for no other reason than that you look brown, that you might.
Or you're wearing the wrong shoes.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're wearing immigrant-y shoes, according to Representative Brian Bilbrey.
Wooden clogs. You're an illegal Dutchman,
obviously.
Yes.
See, I don't
smell
know.
Cheese.
Maybe I am too happy-clappy a liberal, but you remember the bike accident I had a couple of weeks ago?
Yes.
Some moron decided it was really jam-packed crowded in Central Park, and he just thought, I think I'll turn right now. And I was like, nah. Yes, and so then he fell on top of me, whatever. And so my friend that was riding with me said, you know, I don't think he's not from this country. And see, that didn't even occur to me. It just he spoke the international language of moron is what I was thinking. I didn't really connect it to that, oh, he's, you know, not from here.
Why would that enter your mind?
I was saying, like, right. I don't know what he was thinking, and she was like, oh, well, you know, he's not really from this country, but I was like, so?
So? What difference does that
he's
make?
He's a moron.
Yeah, he hit you, so.
Exactly. Well, technically, I hit him.
Well, okay, but that's because he turned right in front of you.
Yes,
because
exactly.
He's a moron.
Exactly, the international language of moron. That's just all I'm saying.
In my country, we don't have to look behind. We just go.
You just go. Exactly. It doesn't matter how crowded it is. All right, let's go to Mike in Santa Barbara. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, regarding this latest New York City bombing attempt, I think for the last month the scorecard is Corporate America 36, Terrorists 0. And, of course, that doesn't include, you know, all the damage to the environment and destroying people's livelihoods and lives that the oil spill is going to do. But I'm thinking the takeaway from this thing is if you're a businessman and you're trying to make money and you own a mine and you blow up 25 people or, you know, you blow up 11 people on an oil platform, that they don't arrest you. But if you fail in an attempt to blow people up and you're just a guy – I'm not trying to make any money by doing it, but trying to make some kind of political statement. They throw the book at you.
Mm.
But the other guys, the corporate guys, are just walking free.
Yeah, no, good point. Did you see this? The Texas governor, Rick Perry, said the oil spill may be an act of God.
Right, yes, an act of God. God told them to drill there and to not put in, you know, safety valves that would prevent this sort of thing from happening. Right.
Or could be an act of Halliburton, so, you know.
Well, same thing. As far as Rick Perry's concerned.
yes, he said he offered a stern warning against a halting drilling. Yeah, you'd hate to even pause briefly at that while you assess the damage. In the wake of the massive oil leak and raised the question whether the explosion was an act of God, he warned against a knee-jerk reaction to the spill. He questioned whether the spill was just an act of God that occurred and said any politically driven decisions could put the U.S. in further economic peril. From time to time, there are going to be things that occur that are acts of God that cannot
be
prevented.
There is no oil shortage right now. Fuel is high because of Wall Street speculation, the cost of gasoline. We should be trying to get away from the internal combustion engine. It's 19th century technology.
You know, can I just say, this is not a hurricane. This is, you know, a piece of equipment that apparently failed, and coincidentally, Halliburton was the one, doing the underwater drilling on the cement.
Coincidentally, same thing happened off the coast of Australia when Halliburton was involved.
29 minutes after the hour, back with Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I opened my best bottle of wine for you last night, and you left a sip.
I would never.
This is your lipstick.
105.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it. And GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. We love us some GoToMeeting at the Stephanie Miller Show. You know, it's Tuesday, everybody. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
You know, I'm sure it's a complete coincidence that Idiot America is released in paperback today. I know that Charlie's here just because he loves me like usual.
It's Paperback
Hello?
Tuesday.
Paperback Tuesday.
Paperback Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, guys. How's everybody?
I'm broadcasting from Times Square, so I'm as well as could be expected.
What an excellent place to be. Are there any SUVs parked in an odd and suspicious manner?
You know, listen, I was one of the early suspects. As my listeners know, I'm having a hard time dealing with the logistics of New York. I broadcast from Times Square, and I have a big SUV because of my giant dogs. So,
that's right.
You know. Yeah,
that's right. It's very hard to get the dogs in the Prius.
That's true.
It's not a dog friendly car.
They didn't like the Mini Cooper.
By the way, has anyone ever seen Carly Fiorina and Martha Coakley in the same room together?
No. Interesting.
Very good point.
Charlie, may I say good morning and Shazad to you. By the way, the president will be speaking in about a half an hour live about the New York City bomb plot. We will go to that live. Charlie, your thoughts thus far? Obviously, a lot of breaking news. They just arrested this guy last night at JFK.
Yeah, we are grateful that we have alert vendors in Times Square.
That's the first line of defense.
I mean, all the money we spent on Homeland Security, yeah. And the first line of defense is a guy who sells rubber statues of liberty.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting.
I'm mocking that, but I'm very serious. I mean, this was a great move by these guys.
I know. Well, I mean, we were saying that obviously whether underwear bomber, shoe bomber, I mean, obviously this has been, you know, sort of citizens have been the first line of defense.
Well, we were always told we were, you know, prior to being told we should go to the malls in Disneyland by the previous administration.
Yeah.
But while you're at the malls in Disneyland, if you see anybody parking an SUV in a suspicious fashion, get a hold of a cop. The president hasn't had the best week, has he? This is one of those weeks you don't think about when they're cheering you in Iowa, you know, in the middle of winter,
right.
That you're going to have, like, an oil spill, a terrorist bombing. By the way, up here in this environmental hellhole called Massachusetts, the eastern part of the state hadn't had any water for 3 days.
Yeah, I saw
Yeah, I was
that.
Really, this is one time I was really glad this is a phone interview every week, because you...
Yeah, because you don't want me in the studio right now.
No.
Do you have water back?
Well, I smell like John Yoo's resume right now, let me tell you.
Oh, no.
First of all, though, it's interesting. Representative Peter King, Republican of New York, thinks the episode of Comedy Central South Park could be a possible cause for the Times Square bombing. I mean, this may be the guy that was really trying to kill Kenny, I think, is what the...
That has been a theory broached to me, not only on the radio by people I don't know, but people who I know... Like in my life, who said they wondered if this was the vengeance for the South Park episode?
Right.
Because
my
understanding of the geography of Times Square is that Viacom is like right near this place.
Yeah. So an April episode of South Park portrayed Mohammed in a bear suit, prompting the group Revolution Muslim to publish comments threatening the show's creators. So that's the problem. Is right now, you know, we don't know. I mean, we'll see what the president's going to say in a half an hour, but we have no clue why. They're saying thus far, the guy says he acted alone. There's no connection to Pakistani Taliban, but, you know, you just don't know.
All the indications I've gotten from people who seem to know what they're talking about on this is that this was really kind of a do-it-yourself bomb.
Right.
That making
right.
something like well, this would flunk you out of Al-Qaeda training school.
Yeah, well, these are what we're saying. The cartoonish aspect started with it being like something out of Roadrunner, the what was in the SUV, to then his name is Shazad, which sounds like, I'm not sure, something Shazam, something?
Yeah. Which, but you know, by the way, speaking of Roadrunner, hasn't every scheme to like fix the oil well sounded like something dreamed up by Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah. Exactly.
We're going to drop this big thing on top of it, and then we're going to run a pipe into the big thing and get the trapped oil out.
through the.
You know what we need?
Then we're going to
through the portable hole.
We need the portable hole. That's what we need.
We're going to get some roller skates with really big fireworks on them, and we're going to light the fuse.
Right.
And that's going to get us down the highway.
Yeah, you know that when
Acme Oil Capping Company.
You know what? That when the rude pundit suggestion that we stuff a whale down there is just as plausible as anything the actual scientists are doing.
I don't like to argue with the rude one, but I do think that it would be much better if we took the entire board of directors of BP and started putting them in the hole until it was filled.
Yes. We give them scuba gear.
There is no reason for a perfectly good whale to sacrifice himself for this.
Right.
Well, we have better pals. And then with any luck, in about 6 weeks, you'd see the entire board of directors of BP like 500 feet above the ocean surface, rocketing towards the clouds.
You know, this is what we were saying. It really is amazing, isn't it, that in the wake of this oil spill, you know, we were just talking about Rick Perry says it was an act of God. Sarah Palin's, Sarah Palin certainly hopes that the country will trust the oil industry. Because, what reason... would we have not to?
That was my question. For an awful long time, we were perfectly happy assuming that oil companies were basically greedy, lying, four-flushing, death-dealing bastards.
Yes.
When did we stop? I mean, when the health insurance companies took over, I mean, I figured they became public enemy number one. We forgot all about the oil companies.
Yeah.
Those guys are already running around Alabama trying to get people to sign away their rights to sue.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and here's the thing. You heard that Rush Limbaugh unleashed a conspiracy theory suggesting that someone intentionally blew up the rig in order to head off more oil drilling. But, you know, he's one thing. But then Dana Perino, Bush, she goes on Fox News and says, was this deliberate? If there was sabotage involved, blah, blah, blah. I mean.
Yes, it's one of the many nuclear attack submarines employed by the Sierra Club.
Hey, that's a good idea, actually.
They have an entire fleet.
The Sierra Club Navy has sicked one of its attack submarines on. The other one I heard, of course, was the North Koreans.
There was
one crazy conspiracy had the North Korea. Why they would do it, there and not in, say, I don't know, California, which is closer, I have no idea.
Because Kim Jong-il very, very upset about Team America.
Oh, I should have seen that cue coming.
Imagine kill you bad people.
But this is what happens with this stuff. So Dana Perino says it. Then later in the show, the brain trust that is Steve Doocy asks a Fox Business reporter to respond to people who have suggested there's a possibility this could be sabotage. It's the some say technique.
Exactly.
Some say, meaning we just said it. Yeah.
Some people, namely the idiot across the table, said this. So what do you think? Of course it was. It was environmentalists 5,000 feet below the surface of the Gulf of Mexico sabotaging an oil pipeline. It couldn't be that these guys are just cheap and trying to save money and, not using the $500,000, a rig technology that's okay in Norway and Brazil, but not here because we have an open marketplace, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, here's the what I love about the rest of this exchange, Charlie. So this Fox News reporter or business reporter says, the question is, did they let this thing leak? Did they let it leak for a while? And then this is where that we've reached the parallel universe. Gretchen Carlson is the voice of journalistic reason in this. She called his speculation a humongous accusation. He agreed, said, but if they're going to try to pull drilling, this may be the way to do it. So Gretchen Carlson is the journalistic bank trust that goes,
First of all, Gretchen, sweetie, if you're going for gravitas, humongous is not the way to go.
Yes.
Lord.
It's a perfectly good word if you're talking about the crush you have on somebody in seventh grade. When you're talking about major ecological disasters, do better for an adjective, kid.
I'm pretty sure Walter Cronkite never used that.
That's the way it is.
The Vietnam War is humongous.
and you know for a fact that Brokaw couldn't even get it out.
Yeah, all hungers. That's large.
Hey, I'm doing really well setting Bill up today, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Dear God.
That's
why don't you just go, Jim, I think it might sound a little something like this.
So I was impressed that Brian Williams is on the scene and not wearing a tie.
Brian Williams.
And by the way, in case anyone hasn't noticed, Nashville is floating away.
Yeah. I saw that. That's awful.
Yeah,
I know that because they sent some other poor NBC schlub there without a tie. And Jim Cantore is on the scene in Nashville.
That's right. Weather channel guy extraordinaire.
He is the fifth horseman of the apocalypse.
He is.
War, pestilence, death, famine, and here comes Jim Cantore in a baseball cap.
Yeah.
You're so screwed.
He's the Murray the K of the four horsemen.
So, obviously, BP going to get the full Washington treatment early over the next few weeks, series of congressional hearings. I mean, you know, to me, in some ways a replay of the mining executives.
I was going to say, a sternly worded letter or two?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Republicans, meanwhile, want to turn the focus back on the federal government, with one top House Republican calling her investigation of the Minerals and Management Service, which oversees offshore drilling. So they're going to find a way to blame Obama for this, too. That
oh, this is,
you know,
well, I mean, this, by the way, this is what you're going to get if the elections go bad in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get 9,000 phony investigations.
Yeah, yeah.
Run by every crazy person in the House of Representatives, and there are a few, and there will be more. But you know that, and so if, I mean, if you want, you know, it's not a barrel of laughs, you know, a lot of what this guy's done. But if you really don't want a replay of 1994, you know, be careful how you vote in the fall.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Because if you look out there, boy, I'm telling you what, where do we get our Congress people from? We get them from our state legislatures, and our state legislatures have started to lose their minds. Have you noticed?
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
these places are locked wards at this point.
Well, look at the Arizona law. We've got about 10 states that are teeing stuff up like this.
I mean, Arizona's bad enough, but there's Nebraska, there's Oklahoma, you know, there's Georgia doing the anti-microchipping law.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I really thought was pretty cool, because then you had the guy in Iowa who's running for Congress who wants to microchip illegal aliens.
Yes.
Without realizing that you can't do that in Georgia anymore. See, this is the problem with running a political movement based on paranoid lunatics. You have no message discipline.
Yeah,
you're liable to say anything.
Charlie Pierce, you know, it's Paperback Tuesday, everybody.
Yeah,
that means go buy your paperback version of Idiot America.
It's a dirty story of a dirty man and his clinging wife doesn't understand. Actually, no, it's not. There's a whole lot in there about, you know, idiots, but okay.
You're going to have to write new pages every week, it looks like.
Well, see, it was very funny. Somebody asked me about that the other day, and I said, you know, I had to write a new foreword because, among other things, the name Glenn Beck does not appear in the original Idiot America.
Oh,
it was,
really?
It was done prior to his ascendance. So I had to write an afterword, and now the afterword is already obsolete.
I mean, Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America, out in paperback today. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you next
time. All right. There he goes, Charlie Pierce.
Hey.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 52 minutes after the hour. Ron in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
I was telling you earlier, I was saying about Obama and the Republicans. You know, we had this bomber come to Detroit. We caught him. It's mighty coincidental that the father had Dick Cheney. And George Bush has still been in office. They would not have called. He would not have called to try to warn us. Because Obama was in office, this man tried to protect us and tried to protect his son at the same time. And what's wrong with
turn down
American
your radio,
people?
Please.
Well, okay, what's wrong with the American people? They forget so quick. We had, under the Bush administration, we had contaminated toys, contaminated food, contaminated drywall. Wait a minute. Contaminated dog food, contaminated vegetables, all under this deregulation. Now we have an oil spill, and it's mighty coincidental that Dubai, Halliburton moved to Dubai, and all of a sudden, here comes Dick Cheney's corporation to the rescue. I surely believe Dick Cheney has someone in Blackwater sabotage that rig. All of a sudden,
wow. All right, Ron. Yikes.
That was messy.
I got lost in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're trying to make Obama look bad by having this happen on his watch.
Yes.
Still, it's going to be hard to tie it to Obama.
Wow. Okay. And the New York City bomb guy was going to Dubai. Wait. All right. Hang on. All right, we will take the president talking live about the New York City bomb plot in just a few minutes and see what the latest is. In the meantime, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Hi.
Wow, that's kind of making them look bad, isn't it? The drill baby drill crowd.
Yeah, it is.
The, here's a little montage for you. Marco Rubio. Marco.
Rubio.
Michelle Bachmann, Gingrich. You know.
One of the emerging issues in America this year is energy. And that's why I've joined the drill here, drill now, pay less effort.
Do what I did. Sign the petition so that we can drill here, drill now, because I want you to pay less.
We could drill here, drill now, pay less.
Pay less, frankly.
Except that it has nothing to do with supply and demand.
Frankly.
It's Wall Street manipulating the price of oil.
Yes. By the way, Rubio now, he's waffling a little bit on the whole drilling thing.
Yes, really? He is.
Huh. He doesn't look like a guy who could dance that
well. You know, now that he's the front runner in the now that he is the Republican, he has to tack more to the center.
Well, I was just going to say, it's hilarious because he's the far-right teabagger candidate, and now he's like has to moderate. So it's
First
the Arizona law, and now this. Because, you know, Charlie Crist doesn't, he didn't like drilling or being drilled.
No, he doesn't. He really doesn't like drilling.
Now he's saying that drilling is the opposite of safe. Of course, it's hilarious to watch these guys. So Rubio said, on the one hand, he said we should be very concerned with what led to this disaster. Until that question is answered, I don't think we can move forward on anything else, which is exactly what the Obama administration is saying. But at another campaign stop, he said he wouldn't give a definitive answer to questions from reporters on the topic. On CNN, he said he thinks we should rethink our understanding of drilling technologies. Huh. This is going to get more and more entertaining.
Like they did in Brazil and Norway, where they had the kind of equipment that would have prevented a spill like that?
Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer on the terrorist.
There's already been one successful attack under the Obama administration with the Fort Hood shooting. A guy who, because of political correctness, was allowed to be promoted and ended up by killing 13 Americans. They got lucky twice. If it happens again, they're going to know the Bush administration, which was attacked, excoriated for its tough interrogation, nonetheless kept us safe. Obama has repeatedly attacked the way that the Bush administration handled terror. Well, he's got to be real careful because this could destroy his presidency. He understands that, and that's why I think they're going to be a little more scrupulous in interrogating the guys if and when they find them.
So let me get this straight. Three things that happened are worse than 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah. The worst attack in our history, killing 3,000 Americans, happened on George Bush. Well, there we go again.
Look,
but he kept us safe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he kept us safe.
There's a guy with Acme products in his van, so it's kind of the same.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Michael Brownie. Oh, the heck of a job, Brownie.
Heck of a job, Brownie.
Uh-huh. On Cavuto, oil drilling.
This president has never supported big oil. He's never supported offshore drilling. And now he has an excuse to shut it back down. Oh. They played politics with this crisis and left the Coast Guard out there by themselves doing what they're supposed to do. This is exactly what they want, because now he can pander to the environmentalists and say, I'm going to shut it down because it's too dangerous.
So Cindy Sheehan went down with a scuba mask. 5,000 feet under.
Why is he being trotted out as an expert in crisis
on
management?
On anything,
Yeah, that's kind of hilarious. To say what the Obama administration did wrong in this particular crisis.
Be
the Hurricane Katrina guy.
Ordering tapas and mojitos.
Wow. That takes way most Fox News.
All right. Rush
Limbaugh.
Anyone
need an Arabian
horse? Rush Limbaugh on BP. And
Robert Gibbs is out there saying about British Petroleum, we're going to keep the boot on their throat. So BP is an adversary.
Yes.
No crisis is too good to waste. A crisis is the playground of a tyrant.
You mean like Dick Cheney?
And the the president saying, oh, good. There's a giant crisis that I can
exploit.
Help me be more tyrannical.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we will join the president live in his remarks about the New York City bomb plot as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Live from Times Square, 6 minutes after the hour. No, not really. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. We're getting ready for the president to speak live about the New York City bomb plot. We will join that live as soon as it happens. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Did Jim get the other breaking news from Tommy from Columbus?
I still haven't found it.
Celebrity staff. We will get to that. And just he has a Tom Brokaw that he would like to... He would like to make the voice monkey do. All right. Oh, the president is speaking live. Let's join that in progress.
Brief update on the investigation into the attempted terrorist attack in Times Square. A suspect is now in custody and is being questioned. The American people can be assured that the FBI and their partners in this process have all the tools and experience they need to learn everything we can. And that includes what, if any, connection this individual has to terrorist groups. And it includes collecting critical intelligence as we work to disrupt any future attacks. Justice will be done, and we will continue to do everything in our power to protect the American people. Attorney General Eric Holder and other members of my national security team are going to be providing more details, but let me say this. This incident is another sobering reminder of the times in which we live. Around the world and here at home, there are those who would attack our citizens and who would slaughter innocent men, women, and children in pursuit of their murderous agenda. They will stop at nothing to kill and disrupt our way of life, but once again, an attempted attack has been failed. It has failed because ordinary citizens were vigilant and reported suspicious activity to the authorities. It failed because these authorities, local, state, and federal, acted quickly and did what they're trained to do. I've had the opportunity to personally thank some of the citizens and law enforcement officers whose quick thinking may have saved hundreds of lives. And this suspect has been apprehended because of close and effective coordination at every level, including our Joint Terrorism Task Force and U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Finally, New Yorkers have reminded us once again of how to live with their heads held high. We know that the aim of those who try to carry out these attacks is to force us to live in fear, and thereby amplifying the effects of their attacks, even those that fail. But as Americans and as a nation, we will not be terrorized. We will not cower in fear. We will not be intimidated. We will be vigilant. We will work together, and we will protect and defend the country we love to ensure a safe and prosperous future for our people. That's what I intend to do as president, and that's what we will do as a nation. Of course, expanding prosperity is what you work for at the Business Council. So I'm pleased to have this opportunity to meet with you. It has been a little more than a year since I last spoke to the members of this organization. And over the past year, I've appreciated the advice offered by many of the leaders in this room as we've grappled with a set of very difficult economic challenges.
Okay. You know who I just got the rap sign from? The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money and failed again with this bomb plot yesterday in Times Square. He just gave me the rap signal.
Really?
I don't know. He just popped in to tell me to wrap it up now. Okay. All right.
Wrap up the show?
Yeah. So pack up your things. We're all done here.
Oh, no.
President, he's onto something.
He brought some boxes in. I don't know what that means.
Oh, some banker's boxes. Y'all.
Anyway, but I...
Yeah. You know there's always trouble when the banker's boxes come out.
All right. That, we get it. That concludes the president's remarks about the New York City bomb plot. By the way, should I turn on his mic? Here we go. Was that you? Because I just coincidentally, people are saying the Stephanie Miller Show broadcast from Times Square, and that's where the bomb... And you're from Connecticut. Do you have any last words before we call the authorities?
Basically, yes, because this happened on a Saturday evening, and you're not working on Saturday
evening. Oh, sure. That's just what you did to make it look good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. All right. Yes, Jim. I'm sorry. Were you saying something? I'm sorry.
No.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm still trying to find that story.
All right. Never mind. So, yeah, we will keep you updated the more information we get on this. But the guy, Connecticut Plates, just saying, like the guy that owns the show. A U.S. citizen, though, from Pakistan. Oh, he wants to talk now. Okay. Yes, guy that owns a show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
The difference is that as a good American citizen, yesterday I bought a Chevrolet Tahoe.
Okay.
Because GM is one of our sponsors, and we support our sponsors on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay. Thank you.
Don't you have like 17 cars in your garage already?
Yeah. Yeah, wait a minute. I seem to remember you have so
right,
many cars that you need
on,
to keep them
God
plugged
sakes,
in.
All right.
So, you have so many
yes,
cars.
Yes. No, he, this was one of my favorite moments. We were driving by some tenement building, and he said, this is where I was raised. And at the same time, he was on the phone with his son saying, now, don't forget to put the trickle charger in the Porsche this weekend.
Yeah.
And I said, your children a little different experience than you have.
It's Porsche.
Oh, pardon me.
Porsche.
Sorry.
And I've sold them.
You did.
To pay for the Stephanie Miller Show?
You better believe it, baby.
Yay! All right, good. That's more important than poor Shaw's. All right, let's finish up the right-wing world, shall we, before we move on. Dana Perino. Yeah, this is where, you know, you think this starts lunatic fringe, that this could be deliberate, sabotaging the oil rig. You know, you think, oh, Rush Limbaugh, whatever. So this is Dana Perino and the brain trust that is Brian Kilmeade on the Fox and Friends.
We don't know what happened, and what'll be interesting to me, and I'm not trying to introduce a conspiracy theory,
no.
But
yeah,
was this deliberate? You know, you have to wonder.
Sabotage?
Yeah, there was sabotage involved, and this company doesn't know that. That's not important at the moment. Right.
Because they leased this platform. They didn't make this platform. They leased this platform, so maybe they didn't know what they were getting.
Oh.
So Cindy Sheehan went down 5,000 feet.
Yes.
In a bikini.
Yes. Or as Charlie Pierce said, who was it, a Greenpeace, in one of the nuclear tax submarines they have at their on their fleet. Okay. Jim, I think the important thing is, do you still want to her? Seriously, the lying sack of cute? Do you still have that thing?
Well, I never
It would shut her up. Just saying.
She is cute. She's off the cute, though.
Jim did speculate during various Bush administration press conferences what might stop her from speaking temporarily.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I had an idea.
But. Okay. All right. Okay. O'Reilly on the Arizona immigration law.
A reasonable person can understand why the state instituted a crackdown. But the liberal press is having none of that. Led by some Washington Post columnist and NBC News, cries of racism fill the air. While the left-wing media exploits the issue, they offer no solutions at all, none. Also, they often equate legal immigration with illegal.
Yeah. Fox isn't exploiting this oil platform thing at all.
Yeah. Actually, I think many people have used the phrase comprehensive immigration reform, that might be a solution of some sort. Yeah, that's crazy. Where are we getting all that racial stuff from? Just because you can be pulled over for, you know,
being brown, looking Mexican-ish.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Brian Kilmeade on the Fox and Friends on the New York City bomb plot.
What I was surprised at is that right away they say he's a 40-ish year-old white guy. To tell you the truth, I'm looking at that video. If they're looking at the same video we're looking at,
right.
I don't know if they're just placating the public. I don't. That doesn't look like a white guy.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Great. Playing into, you know, the base, most base fears of Americans. That's great, Brian. Thanks.
Yeah. Although, let me just say that he's right about that many of us had to change our shirts several times yesterday. It's very hot, very humid here in Calcutta, where I've moved. Yes, and I just discovered something new. I have no air conditioning in my bedroom.
Oh, that just occurred to
you? I changed my shirt. That and perimenopause, I changed my shirt like 14 times just last night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I found the email.
Oh, do good. You? All okay. right. We have we'll give you a little preview of Celebrity Stack. Tommy in Columbus sends us the news that, let's see. Oh, Chailey Wright? I don't know country music.
Shelley Wright.
Who?
Shelley Wright.
Shelley Wright. She's a country singer. She is coming out as a lesbian, isn't she, Tom Brokaw?
Well, Nashville's a late tell of a lesbian lyricist whose ballads include Like Me, Lifted Off the Ground, along with Single White Female. The likelihood of films showing classy lady love is still being speculated about. I myself will be looking forward to the Sappho films that will undergo analysis in my living room. This has been Tom Brokaw, formerly at NBC Nightly, and here is Hubba Hubba. Yeah. Me likey.
Yeah, she is kind of hot.
Okay.
I believe she is of the lipstick variety.
Mm. Jim will be doing more research on that later, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Later.
Okay.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah, that's why he couldn't find the email, because he was on Shelley Wright's website looking for pictures.
LesbianCountrySingers.com. Okay. Mike in Milwaukee on the New York City bomb plot. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph. How we doing? Hey, real quick. I don't know if you guys covered this or not, but do you remember the big stink that the right was making about, oh, we can't have the terror trials in New York, else they'll try to attack us in New York, and this is not a good thing? Well, I guess it seems that it didn't really matter whether we had the terror trials there. If those idiots want to try to do something to us, they're going to do something to us. And I can't believe so many people from the right were jumping up and down and making such a stink about our legal system and having those trials, and then this goof comes along with this bomb, and he tries to, you know, pull his stunt off on a Saturday night in Times Square. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing what the people on the right will fall for. And you actually have people out there marching, and some of them tried to hide behind, oh well, they'll shut down my small business. No, some of you folks have bought into the paranoia that the right wing was selling you, and all of a sudden now here it is. You know, you don't have your trials, and here we go. Some goof like the shoe bomber decides he wants to try to blow up something and then get on a plane headed to the Emirates, like we weren't going to check that first. You know, a plane headed that way. I mean, I don't get these folks. I'm surprised Dick Cheney hasn't been out yet saying, see, I told you they were going to try to hit us. I'm just waiting to see how they're going to spin this on Fox and Friends and all these other channels. It'll be real interesting.
We will have that for you tomorrow, in fact, in Right Wing World, how they spin this.
Interesting, though, that the little terror snafu bobble that happened during the Bush administration was so incredibly successful, and everything since there has been amateur hour.
Yeah, exactly. No one has explained that yet, how the shoe bomber is different, you know, whatever. 19 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest on the oil spill and the bomb plot as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can we absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. Paul in Fort Lauderdale on the oil spill. Hello, Paul. Oops, did I do this? I did do it right. Hello, Paul. I did it right. He's not there.
He's
is
not
it
there.
My fault?
No.
Hello, Paul. All right, let's try Joan in Connecticut on the oil spill as well. Hi, Joan.
Hello, Stephanie. This is Lady Trucker Joan. How are you?
Hello, Trucker Joan.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, I'm trying to find out why no one has talked about the last call. I remember seeing it in the 1991 of April New York Times edition about new technology for oil spills, and this last call is supposed to turn the oil almost into like rubber. And so that all they have to do is pick it up and put them in barges, and then they can still use it. So, I don't understand why they.
That's like Gumby or something.
It's like putting peanut butter in gum, you know, that's been stuck to your hair.
Oh.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, have we tried using Goof Off yet? Because that works for almost anything, doesn't it, Joan?
I don't know. I've seen it work before because they used it in a harbor before, and they showed how easy it was to just skim it off, and that it doesn't have a lot of water in it. And the place that makes it is in Boston, and I was wondering, why don't they use that in the marshes? Because they said that specifically for the marshes.
I don't know. We rescheduled Dan Weiss, right? The from Center for American Progress. For when is this?
In just about 10 minutes.
Oh, good. All right. He's the director of climate strategy at the Center for American Progress, so he may know more about technology in terms of the oil spill and all that. But Jim, they do sound, the plots sound fairly fantastic, don't they? I don't know. That sounds like silly putty or whatever it is. She just.
Well, it sounds more plausible than a dome.
It would.
Yeah, Charlie Pierce was saying it is like the plot line to a Roadrunner episode.
Yeah, but that's to protect the marshes, but that's not going to capture all the oil in the ocean.
Right.
Which is,
Right. So Sarah Palin's plan is to just trust the oil industry. By golly.
She said, we've got to tap domestically because energy security will be the key to our prosperity. She expressed sadness over the incident, but said that she urged the administration to move forward with plans to expand offshore drilling. Don't
damn
stop
the
for any of that.
Full speed ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, don't, because studying, it's French and gay. You don't want studies and, you know, stuff like that.
Iceberg, but, get ahead. Full speed ahead. Don't look at it. Just pretend it's not there. Also, too.
All right, Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary, yesterday about BP.
Who keep our, as Secretary Salazar said, our boot on the throat of BP to ensure that they're doing all that they, all that is necessary while we do all that is humanly possible to deal with this incident.
Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary on the fishing industry as well.
If local fishermen can't fish, that's an economic loss that BP's going to have to pay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I said to the congresswoman we talked to this morning. I'm like, what? Yes, why should that?
Well,
that absolutely.
No, there's a cap of $75 million. Ha ha.
No.
Nina, Nina.
It was BP's negligence. Therefore, they should be paying for all of the business that fishermen are losing.
Yes, and
absolutely.
Also Halliburton.
Yes. Anyone that watched Forrest Gump knows how that's going to affect the shrimpers.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, black tar shrimp, black ball shrimp.
Exactly. All kinds of shrimp. Let's go to Pat in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pat.
Hey, good morning, Steph. Hey, I was just wondering if this bombing attempt in New York might be the outgrowth of the fact that President Bush has quadrupled the predator drone attacks in Pakistan since he took
President
office.
President Obama, you mean?
Oh, I, that's right. But I can't tell the difference anymore between Bush and Obama.
I see what you're saying. Okay. You know. I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead. What?
Well, I mean, yeah, that is it is problematic. It's predator drones. We're killing a lot of civilians in the process and just not helping things.
Maybe it was a consequence of the Jonas Brother predator drone joke at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. You don't know until we investigate. Who knows? Sue in Detroit on the bomber as well. Hi, Sue.
Hi. How
Hello.
Are you?
Hello. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just was listening to the president's statement, and I was wondering why didn't he come out and make a statement when the Houthari were that group here in Michigan were caught trying to kill law enforcement, or when that crazy guy was mad at the IRS and flew his little plane into their building. I mean, why not all the hoo-ha and the anger at that? I don't understand.
Yeah, I've said that. I think that the media has underreported all these incidents of right-wing-inspired violence that have happened, over the last couple of years. 29 minutes after the hour, Dan Weiss, Senior Fellow Director of Climate Strategy at the Center for American Progress, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have a rule that every kiss must last at least 3 seconds. It's what the Obamas do.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, we have a funny, very funny Jessica Simpson story. Speaking of that, coming up in celebrity stuff.
Uh-oh.
She wants to be Michelle Obama.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, I can think of many reasons why she can't be Michelle Obama.
It's from the superficial. All right, so it's kind of funny. Hang on a second. We'll just do this real quick. Mm-hmm. Superficial writes, Michelle, she was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Jessica Simpson wants to be Michelle Obama.
And you weren't?
I know. Take a look at her accomplishments compared to Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama, graduate of Harvard and Princeton, successful businesswoman and humanitarian, married, dedicated mother, committed to physical fitness. Jessica Simpson farted in a business meeting once. It's like they're twins. funny. All right. Lots going on, obviously. News breaking left and right here this morning. The oil spill, obviously, is just a ongoing and growing tragedy. Dan Weiss is the Senior Fellow and Director of Climate Strategy from the Center for American Progress to give us the latest on what's going on in the oil crisis. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for having me again.
Good morning, sir. we've been saying, I mean, this really has gotten, even for the right wing, fairly amazing, hasn't it? We've got Rush Limbaugh and Dana Perino, among others, speculating that this was deliberately sabotaged by people that want to stop drilling. We've got Rick Perry saying it's an act of God. I mean,
Well, you know, it is pretty amazing that most Greenpeace activists do have access to a helicopter that they can then fly from the Louisiana shore undetected, 50 miles, land on the oil rig, sabotage something a mile under the water, and get off without anyone seeing them.
Yes.
It is a very plausible scenario. Wasn't that the plot of 24 last season?
Yes.
I mean, it really is amazing, though, Dad, isn't it? The lengths people will go to. You know, Sarah Palin had already come out and said, oh, I certainly hope, you know, Americans will still trust the oil industry. Or that.
Why wouldn't we?
Yes. Why? What reason, what evidence did we have to the contrary?
Well, what's interesting with Sarah Palin is that she was very anti-Exxon because of the damage that Exxon Valdez oil spill did to her home state of Alaska until she quit the governor's office, and now she's a lapdog for big oil.
Yeah.
I guess there's a lot more money there than there is on defending people like the fishermen in Louisiana whose livelihoods could be ruined for a long time to come because of this horrendous BP disaster.
Yep. Well, you know, Dan, you mentioned this. You know, in your piece, the Exxon Valdez, I mean, this really what we're talking about. It is fast becoming the most horrific environmental disaster in U.S. history. The Exxon Valdez, just to compare, contaminated 1,300 miles of shoreline in Alaska. This flood could be far worse, particularly the spill reaches the 9,000 miles surrounding the shoreline in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. I mean, that's the thing is we don't even know the scope of this yet, do we?
You're right, Stephanie. This is really a slow-motion catastrophe as we wait to see what happens with the oil. Today, I think the water and the winds are favorable, so it's not really washing ashore. But I read a quote from a scientist earlier this morning who said that oil could be washing up on Florida beaches by the weekend, which just shows the tremendous reach of this catastrophe. And really, the only ultimate solution is we've got to make the oil rigs use better equipment like they use in Norway and Brazil to try and prevent such blowouts from happening. But ultimately, we need to use less oil by making our cars go further on a gallon of gas, by using alternative fuels like electricity or natural gas, and by making public transit more available so people have options. That's ultimately going to reduce the likelihood of this sort of event.
Right. There's some good stuff on, you know, American progress. That we only have 2% of the world's oil reserves. You know, you say it doesn't make sense for the U.S. to expand investments in a practice that will not bring in significantly more oil, lower prices, or provide long-term solutions to our energy crisis, all while putting American lives and the environment at risk. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, absolutely. And, you know, I really feel very terrible, and all Americans should, for the families of the 11 workers who lost their lives on the rig. And also, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of fishermen in the coastal Louisiana and probably the other states, too, whose livelihoods may never be the same. There was just an article today in the Washington Post about one, Johnny Nunez. It's heartbreaking to read that this is what his grandfather, his father, he and his sons have done is fish, and he's perfected his ability to do that, and that could be gone now for years and years to come. You know, one thing people don't know, the Exxon Valdez oil spill happened 20 years ago. Oil is still washing ashore there in Prince William Sound, even after 20 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, but I think a lot of your points are valid about, you know, that we can't produce enough oil domestically to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. The U.S., you know, you say cannot produce its way out of the supply-demand gap. The most cost-effective, speedy way to reduce our oil dependence is not offshore drilling. It's reducing U.S. oil demand. And, you know, you guys have some great things, like you three primary methods to reduce oil use, right? Making vehicles significantly more fuel efficient while commercializing electric vehicles, developing cleaner alternative non-oil-based fuels, and investing in public transportation, as you said.
Yes, and, you know, in fact, the President Obama has actually taken the lead in a couple of these areas, particularly in making cars go further on a gallon of gas. He's put together a plan so that new cars beginning in 2012 will be much more fuel efficient, and that will save almost 2 billion barrels of oil over the life of those cars. And that's a huge, huge improvement. We need to do more.
Well, you mentioned there, you know, John Kerry, Lindsey Graham, and Joe Lieberman have been drafting comprehensive clean energy and global warming legislation. What is the status of that?
They are waiting to see what happens with the proverbial oil settles. They are rejiggering their provisions that they were going to have on offshore oil drilling, and I think they're trying to figure out what senators want them to do in this area. So hopefully they'll be announcing something soon, but at least for now, they really want to see where senators are when this all washes, when this is all, you know, people understand the magnitude of this disaster. What's interesting is that there's some senators who continue to believe that we ought to keep expand our offshore oil drilling. One was quoted saying, you know, even if you have a car accident, you keep driving, but that's not the right analogy. This is like if the entire freeway blows up, do you keep driving on that freeway? You know, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's
and,
a great analogy either, but
and on a political level, Dan, you know, we're hearing that right wing groups are threatening Lindsey Graham over this. You know, talking about his personal life and whatever. And you know that. I mean, do you think they're going to be able to scare him off? I mean, the problem is like that's seen as the worst, you know, thing you can do in Republican circles is negotiate in any way with Democrats, right?
Yeah, you know, Lindsey Graham should, you know, should forgive himself for trying to solve America's problems. Senator Graham has been, got a spine of steel in standing up to the right wing of his own party. He understands that every day that we wait to put a price on carbon pollution is another day that the Chinese get ahead of us in building the clean energy technology of the future, and that we continue to import oil from dangerous and unstable countries. And so he gets that, and he, you know, I'm pretty confident that Senator Graham is going to continue to resist pressure to sit down and, you know, be quiet, which is what they want him to do.
Yep, absolutely. Dan Weiss from the Center for American Progress, thank you so much for your time, Dan. We appreciate it. And
thank
we will
you.
Check
I
in
love
as
the intro music with the 80s intro music of Midnight Oil. It's very apropos
That's
given
right.
that the Exxon Valdez oil spill was
right.
1989.
I chose that on purpose, Dan. I'm glad you
thank you
to
for
it.
Appreciating the layers of our brilliance, Dan.
Well, you have many layers of brilliance, Stephanie.
Oh.
Dan, I'm sure we will be talking to you again as this you know, disaster continues to unfold. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, there he goes, Dan Weiss, fancy climate guy from the Center for American.
Oh, somebody pays attention to my music.
Oh, that's so cute. All right. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama about the BP and the oil disaster.
I would just say it this way. They're not too big to fail. If they can't pay and it takes everything they've got, they should cease to exist. And hopefully that won't happen.
Wow, he said something that made sense.
Oh, but
talking tough to Big Oil, a Republican already.
Yeah, but then at this exact same press conference, not 2 seconds later, Richard Shelby piped in and rained on the parade.
I hope they don't go broke. I hope they thrive. But in the meantime, there's a lot of resources, a lot of insurance, and assets they have, and they're going to have to step up.
Yeah. I'll say, including, as you said, Chris, the fishing industry, Governor Bobby Jindal, who I guess he's never wanted government help for anything before.
Sure.
But
this bill fundamentally, it can fundamentally threaten our way of life in Louisiana. And that's why we didn't want to just sit down with Plaquemines and St. Bernard parishes this weekend. We called on every parish president all along the coast of Louisiana. We've also asked for a worst-case scenario plan. And again, not seeing a detailed plan, we thought it was important for our parish leaders, even though there are no projections at this time for the oil to be west of the river, we've submitted plans from the Texas border all the way over to our easternmost tip of our state in terms of how we would protect our coast.
Regulating the oil industry, that's as crazy as volcano monitoring. That's nuts.
I'm just saying, all of it proving once again, Jim, God is a Democrat. I don't mean to say anything inflammatory. I'm just saying, every time a Republican goes on to, that's craziness. Why would we need volcano?
Oh, no.
Bobby Jindal is still wondering why Jesus.
Drill, baby, drill. We need to drill.
That's something the president pointed out the other night at the Correspondents' Dinner. Rick Sanchez is a dillweed. Volcanoes in Iceland, it's too cold up there.
You know,
isn't
I saw that live. It was all tongue in cheek.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
so,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, boy. But it just looked out of context.
It did look out of context, but I saw it live, and it was ridiculous. Very tongue in cheek. Both he and his weather guy were laughing while they were saying it.
All right. Once again, proving that this this whole trying to contain the spill is a plot line right out of the Roadrunner. Here is the BP chief operating officer on the latest thing they tried.
We've been trying to stop the flow at the blowout preventer with these remote vehicles, these submarines, robotic submarines, but unfortunately, they have yet to be successful.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing that can operate at that depth.
Yeah.
You can't.
Unless you shove a whale in there.
Oh, come on now. We've already thrown out the rude pundit suggestion a long time ago. We're animal lovers here at the Stephanie Miller Show. All right.
It's still, it's spongy enough, though. I tell you, it's the perfect plug for a
listener suggestion earlier. A bunch of BP executives all tied together would be the same circumference. And we'd give them scuba gear. All right.
It's at 5,000 feet. That's not going to help you. Oh. You'll be crushed from the...
Too bad. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Back with Celebrity Stack and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You people make me sick.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, kids, if you think you have the best mom in the world, you don't. I do.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. No, I have the best mom in the world.
No, you do.
Yes, I do.
Barb. Barbie and Ken. Whatever. Chris's parents' names are Barbie and Ken.
Well, yeah.
Seriously.
They are.
If you think you have the best mom in the world, we want to hear about it in 50 words or less. Tell us why your mom is the best. You'll be entered to win a $50 Sherry's Berries gift card. It's that easy. Berries.com is the website, by the way. Don't forget to type in Stephanie.
That's right.
But if you can go to you, this is a contest we have going on at StephanieMiller.com.
That's right. Just go to the Sherry's Berries banner ad there and tell us why, in 50 words or less, why your mom is the best in the world.
Oh, by the way, guess what else I'm getting my mom besides berries for Mother's Day?
What?
She's going to stay at the fancy inn in Asheville, North Carolina that the president stayed at with me when I go down to Asheville, North Carolina, June, when is it, 5th? We will give you details on that. Bill Press and I will be going down there the first weekend in June to do some meet and greets and things.
And as soon as I get information on that, I'll put it up on the website.
Yes, and we'll be staying at the lovely, it's the Grove Park where the president stayed.
Oh, that's la-ti-da.
Yes, indeedy. All right, let's go. Oh, speaking of which, Gay in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Gay. Hello, Gay.
Oh, no.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, dear. There you are. Go ahead.
Stephanie, this is Gay. I was going through a tunnel, and I'm sorry, but I'm driving through from Asheville, North Carolina to Nashville.
Oh,
to see
dear.
My mom.
Okay. Okay.
She was just blooded out, and wanted to call in and
say boy.
Her prayers are with her.
Thank you very much. She's in the southwest neighborhood of Bellevue River Plantation, and it's one of the worst flooded areas of the flooding this weekend. So,
I'm sorry.
I think she's lost everything, but the cat survived. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, we send you. I'm sorry, your phone is really cutting out, but we do send our good thoughts to your mommy. All right. Lots going on. Let's do some celebrity stack. D-listed writing. It's just their versions of things are funny.
Okay.
Roman Polanski has some to say. Roman Polanski, who is currently on forced vacation in his fancy Swiss chalet, took a little time out from watching reruns of Toddlers and Tiaras and Skyping the Pedo Bear to write a 900-word statement about his extradition from Switzerland to the U.S. You can read the entire thing at Deadline Hollywood, but you might want to save yourself some time by farting into your hand and then smelling it. It'll leave you with the same taste in your mouth. It took Roman 908 words to basically say, wah, 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 wah. Roman is crying and moaning about how he feels he's not being treated fairly, yet he's sipping Swiss Miss hot chocolate from a St. Bernard's barrel collar in the comfort of a luxurious chalet instead of making grilled cheese on a radiator in prison. I'd save yourself the time reading the whole statement.
Yeah. 9,000 words? Holy cow.
900. 908. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, which is a little better.
We only require 50 to tell us, you know, how your mom is the greatest.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And win some Sherry's berries.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think they have those in prison. So I better shout out.
All right. Chris, could you take your wedding organ out for me? Cynthia Nixon and her girlfriend want to get married in New York. She's gearing up to promote Sex in the City, too. They have been together 6 years. She said, we got engaged a little more than a year ago. Our hope was to get married in New York, but they didn't pass the bill. The New York State Senate rejected the bill in 2009 that would have allowed gay couples to wed. One of their options is Iowa. She said, I feel like it would underscore the fact that New York hasn't come through. Iowa. We had to go to Iowa, you losers in the Senate. But they probably won't. She said, I think we both like to get married in New York.
Yeah. Good luck to her.
All right. Jim is still Googling that the country singer that came out earlier, Shelley Wright? I think. Yeah. He does a lot of research in certain areas of the show. It's weird. It's a little.
Although,
you know.
Shelley Wright is getting to be a little long in the tooth. She was big when I was in country music, and that was.
Long in the tooth? She's 39, for God's sake.
Well, that's long in the tooth. She's no longer an ingenue, I'll tell you that.
Whatever.
I mean, she's Jack Benny's age.
Yes.
49.
Don't talk to me. I'm a big ball of perimenopausal sweat, for God's sakes. Can't tell whether it's the humidity in New York or perimenopause, but I'm a mess.
It's perimenopause.
Shush.
Do you need a parachute for perimenopause?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I need to parachute out of perimenopause.
Do you have the stink that goes along with perimenopause?
Who?
Okay, I have a stink that goes along with New York, I think.
Okay.
All right. Baseball All-Star Adrian Gonzalez says he may boycott next year's All-Star game over the Arizona immigration law. Oh, this is nice. Following the new immigration law, an Arizona neo-Nazi group has designated Cinco de Mayo report an illegal day. Okay. The National Socialist Movement passing out flyers calling May 5th a report an illegal day. J.D. Hayworth has pointed out that friends in California are pushing for economic boycott of Arizona. Get it? In support of their bigoted new law.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nice? You can drive there to buy your sheets or whatever you want. Hayworth is referring to his National Arizona Boycott campaign. It's reportedly set to be announced at the Winning Back America conference, headlined by Liz Cheney, Fred Thompson, and Sarah Palin. I must have lost my ticket to that.
You know, some people in Arizona think it's kind of rich that cities in California are telling them what to do when California couldn't even, you know, legalize gay marriage.
Yeah.
You know,
Janet Napolitano said the border has been more under control than ever before. Somebody was pointing that out to us, actually. She said the new law would be bad for local law enforcement. It's a shame. She said it's a frustration that can be solved only with comprehensive immigration reform. All right, speaking. Oh, you know what? Franklin Graham says he's being discriminated against.
Huh?
By being dropped by the Pentagon Prayer Service. Oh. He says his religious rights are being denied. You don't have a right to speak at a Pentagon prayer service.
No, you don't.
He said, it's a comment I made after 9/11 that Islam was wicked and evil. He said the only reason the invitation was dropped was that a couple of members of the Pentagon who are Muslim objected about me coming.
As well they should.
I feel my religious rights are being denied because of what I believe. He went on to say, I don't believe Muhammad can lead anyone to God, which is right away kind of bigoted.
No,
he pointed out, though, he will pray for President Obama, whether he's a good man or a socialist or whatever.
Thanks.
Isn't that nice?
That's really big of you.
Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.